Good morning and welcome to the presence, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Are you ready to rejoice?
Yeah.
All right. I got a live one in here this morning. That's my granddaughter, Layla. Hi, Layla. Well, welcome those of you who are in house, those of you watching live stream or Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have an awesome time in God's presence. Are you ready? Come on, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, one thing have I desired. I just want to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Here we go. Hey. Come on, put those hands together.
was glad when they said unto me, let us go in, into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in, into the house of the Lord. Clap, 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 so glad.
We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you honor. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor. We come
Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad this morning. Hallelujah. Your presence is refreshing, like a morning rain. Your spirit is renewing, healing all my pain. Refresh me, renew me, oh God. Presence is refreshing. Come on, say it.
Your presence is refreshing,
like a morning rain.
Like the morning rain.
Your spirit is renewing.
Your spirit is renewing.
Healing all my pain.
Healing all my pain.
So. Say that again, refresh me.
Refresh me. Renew.
Oh.
Oh,
that's our prayer this morning, Lord. Refresh me.
Oh,
God, the creator of heaven and earth. We come here, Lord, once again, prostrating ourselves before you, Lord, giving honor and glory and praises to your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up early this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for enclosing us in our right mind and giving us just a reasonable portion of our health and strength, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. As we assemble here in your house of prayer, we come, Lord, to pray. We come, Lord, to lift your holy name up.
Yes.
We come, Lord, to just to say, come by here this morning, Lord. And in your word, it says, Lord, that the ones of us that need to pray, when we come for prayers, the ones of us that's in sick, the ones of us that is praising you,
yes,
the ones of us that are in trouble, Lord, and of course the ones of us that are sinful.
Yes, God. Yes, Lord.
Lord, James 5:13 says those things, Lord, and it fits all of us, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
We ask you right now, Lord, that we're living in a hurtful world. We're living in a deceitful world where things that are wrong,
yes, God,
seems,
yes,
to be right. But we know, Lord, that you are sitting high and looking low.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
We,
yes,
are thankful,
yes,
to you this morning, Heavenly Father. We come to you this morning, Lord, to asking you. Some of us are sick in our bodies.
Yes, God. Yes.
Touch them, Lord.
Touch them.
We're asking you to heal them, Lord.
Yes.
But if, Lord, if you do not heal them, we understand, Lord, it may not be your time. It also may be that something that they need to go through, Lord. We ask you to help them to go through it, Lord.
Yes, God.
Teach us, Lord, how to be better Christians.
Yes.
Teach us how to walk closer to you, Lord. We ask that, Lord, that you will bless us and look down upon us, Lord.
Yes.
And forgive us of our sins, Lord.
Yes, God.
Please forgive us, Lord. Please encourage us to be better Christians. We know that we sin because we live in a sinful world, a hurtful world.
Yes.
We ask these things in the mighty name, Lord, of you, of Jesus. It is that we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a better hand praise than that this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Elder Nehemiah. Let's do our affirmation prayer. Everyone together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? So glad to see each and every one of you. Feedback or something in this mic, a little reverb or something. So glad that you are in-house. Those of you who are watching via live stream or Facebook Live, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so honored for you to be here. That's fine. Go on and give our viewing audience a hand. Hallelujah. I want to take this time, if there's any first-time guests, if this is your first time here at the Presence, anyone? Okay, so family and friends, let's greet one another. Go to across the aisles or behind you, around you, and just tell your fellow Christian brother or sister, it's so glad to see you in the house this morning. And we want to take this time to dismiss our youth. We're going to meet in the fellowship hall. This is Youth Emphasis Sunday, and our children. Miss Crystal will be taking the little ones this morning over to Children's Church.
Hallelujah. There we go. I just heard we got another birthday boy in the house. Mr. Paul just turned 93 years old. Paul, wave your hand. 93 years old. And hope I can dress as sharp as you when I'm 93. And still causing trouble. Look at him. Happy birthday. Well, gosh. There's a few things that are happening in our here at the Presence, and a couple of them I want to mention now and then towards the end of the service. Let me just start with this, that last week, I believe it was, or week before last, we started having prayer here in the morning, Sunday morning at 8:30 to 9, and it's really it's open to anyone who wants to come and pray, time of corporate prayer. We pray for the service. We had such a sweet spirit this morning, and myself and Elder Gary, who, by the way, is back there teaching the youth now, but we and a few others had joined this morning, and so we're going to continue to do that every Sunday morning at 8:30. From 8:30 to 9, 8:30 to 9, huh? No, it's fine. It's all good. Johnny, go back. Superman is on his way. He's gone. One, two. That's fine. It was on, but then it went off. Unmute this one so I can talk on this one until we get it fixed. One, two. Okay. So in addition to our 8:30 to 9 a.m. prayer on Sunday mornings, every first Wednesday, what did I say? Every first Wednesday from here on out is going to be family prayer night. Okay? So we will come in here, someone will be on the keyboard, myself or someone else. We'll worship a little bit, but then it's just going to be prayer for that entire evening. All right? So I have been praying and seeking the Lord about ways that we can, one, two, okay, good, ways that we can increase prayer at the Presence. And these are two ways that we're doing it. Every Sunday morning at 8:30, and then also, and then, do I need to just not use it today? Okay. And then every first Wednesday, everybody say the first Wednesday. So April 5th will be the first one, okay? Is Mom Pearson here today? I mean, Mom Pearson, Lord Jesus. I did that a second time. Is Mom Mixon here today? Okay, so there's supposed to be a Needlecraft Fellowship today. Is that still on? Oh, okay. All right. So there's a Needlecraft. This is real loud up here, by the way. There's a Needlecraft Fellowship after service today. And then just want to remind everyone about our fourth Saturday prayer push. Everybody say fourth Saturday prayer push. Now, we're going to listen. We're going to be a praying church. We're going to be a praying church. So I believe that we can go no further than how we pray. We cannot be effective as a church if we're not praying. All right. So that's a good introduction. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Lift that Bible up, or your phone, whatever you have, and just say this: I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, thank you for your word. Prayer has already gone forth multiple times this morning that your word would go forth and that you would speak to the hearts of your people. So I join with those prayers, and we join with those prayers this morning and ask for you to speak with clarity in this house. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to read this verse, but I want to sort of, well, just follow me. So I got a text from a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Andrew Rankin. He is the pastor of Freedom Church here in Owosso. And I go to, a pastor's prayer every Wednesday, and it just happens to be at our church right here in the fellowship hall. Pastors join together every Wednesday of this month here. And so anyway, he texted me earlier this week. I can't remember which day it was. And here is the text. He says, I hope all is well with you today. You were on my mind. I know that working with people at church and as well as in the city, can be taxing. I just want to encourage you for all of your faithful service to the body of Christ. Your investment is yielding much fruit for the kingdom. Word for you today, quote, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And I was so thankful for that text. I returned it and said, thank you, my friend. And when I read his text, the two words that just, this is just how it happens sometimes with me, the two words that just popped out to me were always abounding. And I quickly had to ask myself, am I? If not, why? So everybody say, always abounding. Come on, look at somebody and just, even if you don't feel it, because it's really not based on feeling, look at somebody and say, I'm always abounding. I'm always. Come on, look at somebody else and say, I'm always abounding. Always abounding. You know, if you're like me, you don't always feel like you're abounding. Okay, circumstances and situations arise. You have good days, you have bad days. Remind me of that song, I've had some good days. You know, you have good days, but here's the thing. It doesn't always feel like you're making any progress in things that you're endeavoring to do sometimes, and it's just, you know, sometimes the outlook and you know, sometimes you just, you know, need a good, something good to happen. You know, I'll give you a baseball analogy. You know, just seems like the last few times you've been up to bat, you struck out. You just, you know, I need a hit, God. I need a, I need to get on base, you know. So life does those things to you. But I want to encourage you today and tell you that your feelings have nothing to do with how much you abound. Your feelings are not the determination in terms of the degree to which you abound. And we're going to get into what abound really means. Your position in Christ guarantees that you are more than a conqueror. Always abounding. Everybody say always abounding. Always abounding in all things through Christ who strengthens you. It does not matter what your circumstances look like. I'm going to say it again. It does not matter what your circumstances look like. You're always abounding. Now, you got to say it by faith. Look at somebody again, and this won't be the last time. Look at somebody and say it by faith. I'm always abounding. And say, as a matter of fact, I'm abounding right now. Doesn't matter what you feel like. You're always abounding. You're not on a losing team. Hello? The next time somebody asks you, you know, how you doing or what's the word for today, just say, I'm always abounding. I'm always abounding. I'm the head and not the tail. That's what it means. Are you the head or not, and not the tail? Are you above and not beneath? I'm always abounding. This is what Paul meant when he wrote, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's what he was talking about. All right, so now, just do this. Yeah. Here's just a little background. This is 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote two letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Actually, as you study more, Paul actually wrote another letter, but it's not included here. But Paul wrote this letter to specifically... What? Hi. That's Corey. Corey, does he want Papa? Oh, okay. Bye, Corey. I love you, man. Okay, I love you too. All right, that's my buddy. So Paul wrote this letter to specifically address issues that had arisen in the Corinthian church. Now, I know you don't know anything about issues in the church, but just... Some of these issues included division in the church. What? Sexual immorality. What? And litigation between believers. Say it ain't so. But apparently, back in that day, you know, people were taking people to court for stuff. All right. Do it today. Paul believed, though, that the solution to any issue was love, as evidenced by the 13th chapter of love, right? And so that's sort of how he dealt with it, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers. Thank God for that. So the many problems a congregation may have, and I know it may not look like it, but every church has problems. Every church has circumstances and concerns and things we have to pray through and pray about and all that. Incidentally, I want everybody to put Ron Jackson on your prayer list. He's dealing with some health issues, and he's been diagnosed with, I believe it's... prostate cancer, and he's got some kidney issues, and he said we could share it, but I want you to pray. You know, here's what I heard this morning. We need to nip it in the bud. You ever heard that? All right, so Ron, stand right now. I want to do this anyway. Everybody turn and just point your hands that way. Father, in the name of Jesus, we join our faith right now that you would heal Ron's body from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Hallelujah. You said if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders. So we got pastors, elders, leaders right now, and we are joining our faith that you would heal Ron Jackson right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now give God a praise for that right now. Hallelujah. 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 So we have things that we have to pray through, whether it's doctrinal or practical. It doesn't matter. We have to pray, and those things will be resolved as the church submits properly to the lordship of Christ and learns to love one another genuinely. That was Paul's message. You got to love one another, and you got to stay close to God. So that was sort of the tone of his first letter to the Corinthian church. Now, so then towards the end of this letter, here in chapter 15, Paul encourages the church in the midst of these challenges to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Chuck, will you bring me a red chair? Bring me that red chair. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You could just set it right here. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Thank you, sir. Look, times are difficult. That's what he was saying. Times are difficult. Times are difficult now. But we have to lovingly do the work of the Lord and leave the rest up to God. I'm going to say that again. Times are difficult. And until Jesus comes, they're going to be a little difficult. But we just have to lovingly do the work of the Lord and leave the rest up to God. So now, what does steadfast mean? I'm going to give, let me see. Give this. This is number two. I'm going to give this to Pastor Sonola because I'm going to want her to read. I'm going to want her to read from Ephesians, the second chapter here in a second. All right. Little demonstration. Oh. All right. So now, everybody say steadfast. Come on, say it again, steadfast. So the word steadfast means to sit. It means to sit. It means to actually sit firmly, to be firm, to be, you know, be planted, to sit. Now, to give you sort of a visual, sweetheart, I want you to read Ephesians, and I'm going to have you read 1 through 6, but I'm going to interrupt you, so just be ready. Now, I need you to read it with the Holy Ghost. Just read it with power. Huh? I can't hear you. Oh, King James is fine, I guess. You want mine? Oh, King James is anointed. Read King James. All right, here we go. Here we go. Watch. 1 through 6.
And you have he quickened.
Oh, no. There's too many ye's and stuff. You done lost me already. No. First, yeah, I know. All right, here we go. Ephesians 2. All right, here we go. All right.
And you were dead in your trespasses.
Okay, now this is Paul talking to the Ephesian church, and he's laying out for them where they were, the condition that they were in, and now where they are now. Okay, start over, sweetheart.
And you were dead in your trespasses.
Dead.
And sinned.
And sinned. Everybody. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We were all dead. Okay?
In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world.
Yep.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
Yep.
Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience.
Uh-huh.
Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh.
We was all in, all of us were in it.
Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest.
Toe up from the flow up. Go on.
But God.
Stop right there. But God. Let me just tell you, if it hadn't been for them two words, we'd all be messed up. Sinful, tore up, messed up, lustful, everything. But God. You need to thank God. Say, but God. All right, sweetheart?
But God, being rich in mercy.
Rich in mercy.
Because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions.
Even when we were dead. How can you love something that's dead? But he loved us. Dead. Thrown away. Discarded. Sinful nature. Dead. He loved us.
And he made us alive together with Christ.
Woke us up. Made us alive. Once again, breathed into us the life of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ.
By grace you have been saved.
By grace. Listen, don't you ever shortchange grace. If it wasn't for grace, whoo, my God, the unmerited favor of the Lord. It ain't because you look good. It's not because of anything that you have done. You couldn't have earned it. There's no way that you could have earned it. But it was his grace. Go ahead, sweetheart.
And raised us up with him.
Stop. So now not only did he make us alive, but he raised us up. Where did he raise us up?
And seated us with him in the heavenly places.
Watch, watch. We were dead to sin. Wasn't even invited to the party. Destined for hell. But Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he raised us up. Can I get the hands of the people who have been raised up? You need to know that you have been, oh my God, you have been raised up. That's why we don't need to be having our head hung down. We need to look up. Raised us up.
What he seated us with him in the heavenly places.
Stop. Taking my seat. Seated us. Provided for us. A seat. With him. In heavenly places. All right. In Christ Jesus. Was that the end? Read 6 again.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So we are seated with him. Here's, think about this. When Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross, the Bible says that he ascended to heaven and took his place at the right hand of God. Right? So it says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, with Christ. So that means either there's a third seat or we sitting on his lap. Seated, and that would be more of a reality because we're in Christ. Woo! We are seated with him. And so Paul was saying, to be steadfast, which means to sit, which means to remember where you're seated. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. That is our spiritual reality. On this side of heaven, in earth, we seated at our desk at work. We doing dishes at the house. But spiritually, and this is the key, spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places. We are doing the work of the Lord with a heavenly mindset. That's what it means to be steadfast, to sit, to know your place, to know your status in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. We must always watch. We must always be aware of the spiritual vantage point from which we live. Okay? So Jesus said in John 17 that we are not of this world. Right? Now, yes, we're in it. Just look at someone and say, you know what? I'm in it. But you don't have to be of it. You don't have to be of it. We're in it. So then it says, once you have your seat, I'm gonna look at somebody and say, I got my seat. It means steadfast to be seated in heavenly places firmly. Then it says unmovable. Some versions say immovable, but same thing. Unmovable, which means to not be moved from its place. So you're seated and you ain't moving. It means firmly persistent. To be seated and not letting anyone get you out of, not letting anyone or anything get you out of your place in God. If some of y'all was just as adamant about your spiritual seat as you were about your actual seat in church, you'd be all right. Somebody come and you come in church and somebody in your seat, woo! Houston, we got a problem. Right? But that's how you have to be with your spiritual seat. Problems come, situations come, but don't let nobody remove you from your seat. Because when you get removed from this seat, you totally lose your heavenly perspective. Because here's the thing. When you're in this seat, when you're in the place where God wants you to be, everything else seems really small. You don't believe me? Go up in a hot air balloon or an airplane or something. And everything that looks big down here, all them, you know, them big swimming pools and big yards. All them cars look like little dots. And when you think about it, what's God's vantage point? Ain't nothing big to him on earth. So steadfast, firmly seated, unmovable, ain't getting up, persistent. You need to be persistent in your faith. You need to be persistent in your hope. You need to be persistent in your prayer. You need to be persistent in reading the Word of God. You need to be persistent in your praise. Being strong in the Lord, watch, takes discipline. And you have to be firmly and know that, listen, I'm not playing. I'm not messing around. Everybody say, always abounding. So he said, be steadfast, to be seated, unmovable, to be persistent, not be moved out of your place. And then abounding. Everybody say abounding. So the word abounding means to exceed a fixed number or measure. It means to have to be left over and above a certain number or measure, to have more than what you need, to be over, to remain. It means to be great. Or have an abundance, to have an overflow. Always have an overflow. And so then when you add the always to the abounding, always abounding, when you add the always to these definitions, that means I'm always exceeding and excelling in the things of God. I'm always doing great things for God. I'm always abundantly furnished in what God gives me to do. So I'm steadfast. I'm in my place, and I refuse to be removed from my... Now, let me just tell you something. Everything that the enemy throws at you and brings to you is for you to be removed from your place. Jesus told Peter, Simon, Satan has asked permission to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your... What? Faith is what keeps you in your seat. Because when the storms come and when the waves come and when all the craziness happens, you have so much faith in God that you stay where you're supposed to be. Unmovable. But the enemy wants you, if the enemy can get you to lose your faith, you're going to get up. You're going to get up. So I'm steadfast. I'm unmovable. Ain't nobody moving me. And I'm always abounding because, I've got a great vantage point. I can see where God is working. I can see what God is trying to do and get me to do. And I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to do it because I've got God on my side. I'm always abounding. It may not always look like it, but I'm always abounding. Something good is about to happen. All hard work brings a profit. That's what the Word of God says. And that's not just financial profit. It's spiritual profit. Every time you do something for God, God does something for you. Hallelujah. Always abounding. I'm always, look at somebody say, I'm always abounding. Always abounding. And this is, I mentioned this before, this is what Paul was saying when he said, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. We're more than conquerors. Always having an overflow of peace. Always having an overflow of love. Always having an overflow of joy in the Holy Ghost. You're never lacking in something that someone else needs. Somebody needs encouragement, you got an overflow of that. Someone needs a word about peace, you've got some of that. Somebody needs some love, you got that. Somebody needs some money, you got that too. Always abounding. Always abounding. So now, what is the work of the Lord? Everybody say the work of the Lord. Because the scripture says, therefore, my beloved brethren, steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So what is the work of the Lord? And I know for me, this is just me growing up, sometimes when you read scriptures like that, you tend to think that the work of the Lord means you have to be called to the ministry or be like a pastor or a preacher or, you know, a teacher. So that doesn't refer to me. Everyone, anyone who is a Christian has been called to the work of the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Everyone who is a Christian has been called to the work of the Lord. I'm going to give you a few examples. Turn to Matthew. Let me have my Bible. Turn to Matthew. Oh, you know what? Go ahead. You can go ahead and read it. You sound so beautiful. Y'all, how many of y'all remember back in the day, they did it in our church, back in the Holy Ghost church. You know, the pastor would have one of the missionaries read, and they would read two words. And he'd say, stop right there. You know, and that, I'll tell you, that reader was most of the time, it was a church mother. She was just as anointed as the pastor, man. I'm telling you what, those are the good old days. I miss the olden days. How about you, Shan? That's a joke we have because years ago, I can't remember how old she was. But she's 5 years old. Lord have mercy. And we were riding in the car, mom, dad, four kids. And we were listening to the Jackson 5. I mean, y'all ever heard of the Jackson 5? ABC, it's easy. Oh, mom just gave me that look. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. So we're riding in the car, right? And we're listening to that. And so we pull up, and the music turns off. We're getting out the car. And Shannon says, man, I miss the olden days. 5 years old. Yeah, what you know about the olden days? All right. So everybody say the work of the Lord. All right, sweetheart, read Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 13 through 16. Read that. Matthew 5, 13 through 16.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
All right, so one of the things that we have a work in the Lord to do is to be salt and light. Everybody say salt and light. Listen, you, the world may think they got the right seasoning, but it's way off. They need the seasoning of Jesus. And so we are called to be that seasoning, to season people's life with the love of Jesus. Now listen. Now, those of you who cook, you'll understand this. Sometimes you can put too much seasoning on something. So you don't just go to somebody and just take the whole Morton's salt. No, you got a little sprinkle here, a little sprinkle there. First of all, get to know somebody and find out the areas where they need salt before you start pouring salt on them. All right? So a little sprinkle, so we are called to be the salt of the earth. The world needs what we have to shake on them. We need to shake our lives and let some of that salt. And then it says that we are to be the light of the world. And here's the thing that I want to point out that scripture says. Sweetheart, will you read verse 16 again?
Let your light shine before men in such a way.
Stop right there. Now, listen, it's one thing to let your light shine, but it's another thing to let your light shine in such a way. Your light has to shine in such a way that it causes people to see and to understand that there's something different about you. Let your light shine in such a way. What else does it say, sweetheart?
That they may see your good works.
They're not going to see your good works if your light is not shining in the right way. Okay? It's got to be done in the right way. Got to be done in the right way. All right. So, work of the Lord includes being salt and light. Also, Acts 1 and 8 says that Jesus said to the disciples that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be what? Witnesses. We are called to be witnesses. Now, that word witness in Acts 1 and 8, the Greek word is martus. Martus is where we get the word martyr. So here's what a witness is. Here's the definition. You ready? Here it is. Those who, after his example, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. I'm going to say it again. Those who, after his example, the example of Christ, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. Paul said it this way to the church of Galatia in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That is what a witness is. Now, I know in our vernacular, we think a witness is someone who, and it is partly, you have seen something. The disciples, they saw Christ. They were witnesses of Christ's resurrection. They saw it. Yes. For us, it's seeing the light. I have seen the light, and I now have identified. I've allowed my life to be crucified with him, so now I become a witness. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, but now I have identified with what happened 2,000 years ago, and I have aligned my life. I have killed my life, and now I too am a witness. That's what it means. That's what Christ meant when he said to the disciples, and you will be witnesses. It didn't mean, listen, when Jesus said, hear me, when Jesus said you will be my witnesses, he was not talking about going door to door. That is not what it means to be a witness. Now, that's great if you do, and it's not nothing wrong with doing that, but don't tell me I'm going to hell or telling me I'm not doing the work of the Lord if I don't go door to door. No, I'm going to be a witness by letting my light shine. I'm going to be salt and light, and I'll be ready to give an answer to those who ask me why I'm serving God. I don't have to go door to door to fulfill my God's call for me to be a witness. That's the work of the Lord, to be a witness. It means to be crucified with Christ. Sweetheart, turn to 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19. Did I say 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, yes, 2 Corinthians. I'm almost finished. 18, verse 18 and 19.
Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Okay, so stop right there. He gave us, who's us? Us. The Greek for us is us. All right. He gave us, you, the ministry of reconciliation. That's the work of the Lord. Okay, what is that, sweetheart?
Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself.
Okay, now stop right there. Now God was in Christ. When Christ came to the earth, Jesus was Christ, was God in the flesh, and he was reconciling the world. He came to reconcile the world back to God. Okay.
God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
He has committed to us the word, or the work, or the ministry of reconciliation. Everywhere we go, when we leave this building, we are reconcilers. When we go to the restaurant, or wherever we go this week, go to work, we are reconcilers. It doesn't mean that we, every person that we come in contact with, you know, you save. No, you have to wait on God to open the door. Wait on God to give you the unction to say to someone, you know, where do you go to church, or whatever, however God gives you to engage with somebody. But you don't, the message of Christ doesn't have to be overbearing. Okay? Allow God to give you the opportunity and to open the door. All right, was that 18 and 19? All right, so we have been given the ministry. All right, so then, read verse 20, sweetheart.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Now, I want you to understand this, because we were talking about being seated, right? That we are seated in heavenly places. Heaven is our citizenship. Earth, we are visiting. We're visiting. Okay? If you go to any other country, at South Africa somewhere, there's most of these places have a United States embassy. And the people who work there, they are ambassadors of the United States. They're not in the United... Well, let me stop. In South Africa, where the embassy of the United States is, that is considered U.S. territory. They are actually in, oh my God, this feels good. They are actually in the United States, even though they're not physically in the United States. That's why when you see these movies, you know, where somebody is an American is somewhere in another country and they're trying to make it to the American embassy, you know why? Because the minute they step onto that embassy, they are in the United States. And God, the Word of God says that we are ambassadors for Christ. You can't be an ambassador unless you're physically away, technically, from your home. We are ambassadors for Christ on earth, and everywhere we go, we are in heaven. Woo! I am in heaven because I am in Christ. Heaven is my home, but I'm doing work on earth. We are ambassadors?
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us.
Uh-huh.
We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
There it is. So we are ambassadors on this earth for Christ. Heavenly ambassadors. That's the work of the Lord. I'm not trying to put a whole lot of work on you this morning, but I just want you to understand. And it's not even anything that you have to do every day. Okay, how can I be ambassador? How can I be reconciled? No. It's just relaxing and understanding that God has graced you and called you to be salt and light, to be a reconciler, to be an ambassador of His love, and to always abound in that. Always abound in that. As the Blues Brothers said, you're on a mission from God. Everybody say, always abounding. I close with these few thoughts. Jesus, when He walked this earth as a man, was always keenly aware of where He was, of where He was from, and who He belonged to. I'm going to say that again. Jesus, when He walked this earth as a man, was always keenly aware of where He was from and who He belonged to. Even at the age of 12, you remember when His parents were looking for Him and He was in the temple teaching? And He said, didn't you know that I must be about My... That's the work of the Lord. He knew from a young boy. And look, He didn't start His ministry until 18 years later from that, technically. But He was ministering while He was 12 years old in the temple. He was always keenly aware of why He was here. You know, I said this to in the pastor's meeting, prayer time, this past Wednesday. I said, you know, it's interesting that Jesus lived 33 and a half years on earth. He started His ministry at about age 30. He ministered for 3.5 years. And when He fulfilled His purpose, He was out of here. Have you ever thought, this is kind of how my mind works, what's taking me so long? We would have thought, you know, 33 and a half, gone too soon. Don't live here 60, 70, 80 years still trying to figure out what you're called to do. I've given you some things right now. Fulfill your purpose. This is not your home. Now, this statement might make some of you feel comfortable, but that's okay. Don't stay here any longer than you're supposed to be. Jesus didn't. Live your life to the fullest. Fulfill your purpose. And when it's time for God, for you to be taken, make sure you leave it all on the field. Get it done. Jesus did. He was always keenly aware of where He was from and who He belonged to. Jesus had an always abounding mindset. He never allowed anything on earth to minimize or dumb down His heavenly citizenship or calling. Never. Never. Everybody say, always abounding. So Jesus, watch. Jesus labored for 3.5 years, and then He received His reward. Ladies and gentlemen, ministry is labor. Life is labor. And y'all gonna like this one. People is labor. But as you faithfully navigate all your labor from a heavenly vantage point, steadfast, immovable, always abounding, then you will know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Come on, everybody, say one more time, always abounding. Lord, thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You that You have reminded us of where we sit. You've reminded us of whose we are. You've reminded us that this world is not our home. You've given us the opportunity to always abound in the work of the Lord. So I pray, God, today that this word would be sealed in our hearts and in our minds. I pray for those right now who may just feel a little confused, maybe discombobulated in terms of where they are in their life. I pray that they would just start with you, and that they would accept your love, accept your forgiveness, accept your grace. And I pray that they would become the salt and light and the ambassadors that you've called them to be. May we take our seat. May we be firmly planted and persistent. And may we always abound in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, somebody give God a praise for that word. That's good stuff. Look at somebody one more time and say, I'm always abounding. Always. Always abounding. Always abounding. Hallelujah. I want to, we're going to prepare to give to the Lord this morning. But amen. Thank you. I want to remind you, last week I taught from the subject an offering and a sacrifice. An offering and a sacrifice. It was a message on giving, and which we try to do, we should do once a year. And I'm challenging and asking all of our church family to prepare a sacrificial gift. Now, first thing I want you to do is, if you haven't heard the message, I want you to go back and watch the message from last week. Pastor does not manipulate to raise money for anything. But one of the things that we felt to do is to ask the church to prepare a sacrificial gift and bring that on April the 2nd. And we're going to try to knock out as much of our yearly budget as we can. Okay, I originally thought that we were going to raise a special offering for the capital campaign, and we may do that sometime later in the year. But the Lord really impressed on me for us to bring a sacrificial offering on that April 2nd, because April 2nd begins Passion Week, where we commemorate and we think about the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And so on that Palm Sunday, we're asking everyone to bring a sacrificial offering, and that will go directly into our general budget. I will tell you, listen, I said this last Sunday, we are not hurting. We're not hurting financially. It's not why we're doing this. God has blessed us as a church, okay? And that's, I'm thankful for that. But there is, you know, we have a budget of somewhere close to about $240,000 a year. We're hovering around in that area. And so I don't want us to, and so we don't, there are certain things that we don't do with the monies that we receive. Which means, here's what it means. It means that we do have to watch how we spend. We have to be good stewards. And we have a certain budget for a month. And we're believing God for the funds to cover that month. Sometimes we don't quite do it. And so for that reason, okay, let me also say this. When we don't cover it, then what we have to do is we have to go into our savings. And then we have to pull a little bit out to cover. Okay? Thank God that we have the savings. Okay? We're being good stewards. All right? The ship is nowhere near sinking. We ain't taking in water at all. But the point is that I want us to take the pressure off of every month. Let's knock as much of this yearly budget out as we can. Amen? So I'm believing God that we can really do that. On April the 2nd, we're going to take a special sacrificial offering. Now, to the glory of God, I said last Sunday, listen, if you want to give it before April 2nd, just make sure that you designate it as sacrificial giving. And I got word that someone already has given $5,000 towards that sacrificial offering. Isn't that awesome? So we're So thankful. And I want to say this. I don't even know if Steve is watching. Steve Lyman. He does an incredible job with the finances of our church. Incredible. I'm asking that you pray. If you haven't listened to the message, please listen to it. Please. To those watching, listen to that message and hear the heart of what God is saying for our church. And then April 2nd, we are going to bring a sacrificial offering. All right. Are you ready to give this morning? Hallelujah. Giving up on it. Lift it. If you have a gift today, lift that towards heaven. Father, thank you that we are cheerful givers. We're bountiful givers because you have bountifully blessed us. And so we give with cheerful hearts this morning. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that the seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future and multiplies. We are blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, I'm blessed to be a blessing. So we give today knowing that we'll see it again in greater measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give us a little happy music there. Hallelujah. All right. Everybody say, always abounding. Just a few more things I want to mention to you. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, fourth Saturday prayer push. April 1st, we're doing another team members fellowship. And these are so much fun. We have great food. We have fellowship. And we have games. It's just a time to come together. And the Bible talks about fellowship. And so we do that. If I have a word or a word of encouragement, I usually do. We'll share that with you. But just mark your calendar for Saturday, April 1st. And then we have the Prime Timers, which is our middle-aged adults. They're sponsoring a sight and sound trip to Branson. That's on May 19th. And Gary Tarver is in there talking with the youth, but I always kind of defer to our administrative assistant, Griselda. If you would like to go, and I think there's probably only like 12 seats left. We're taking a 40 passenger. There's 10. We got 10 spots left. Listen, it's going to be a great time. If you just riding on the bus together is just fun. We're going to go down there. And we're going to eat at Paula Deen's restaurant. And then we're going to go to the Sight and Sound Theater and see. And how many of you have never been to the Sight and Sound Theater? Never. Okay, listen. Go. It's amazing. It really is. And so if you'd like to go, the cost is $160, which includes the bus ride, includes the restaurant, Paula Deen's, and the show. All you got to do is show up and get on the bus. Everything else will be taken care of. So if you'd like to go, see Griselda Tate or Gary Tarver after service. All right, last few things. First of all, y'all see this bracelet right here? Y'all see that? That is the Believing Together Heart and Soul bracelet. We have those in the fellowship hall. We're continuing to believe God heart and soul, believe together heart and soul for what God has for us this year. So get your bracelet. Look at somebody say, go get your bracelet. Next Sunday is March 26th. And this March 26th, we're calling it Energy Youth Takeover Sunday. Amen. So you're going to see a number of our youth in various aspects. So some of them you'll see on the stage, doing various things in the service. And we just want you to encourage them. Okay, they'll be doing, might be even a couple of people, a couple of youth on the microphone singing, so we're real excited about this. This is something that we're going to do every fourth Sunday, I believe, Energy Youth Takeover. You got something to say?
Yes, I wanted to say that in light of that, those of you who work various areas already,
Some of the youth will be coming to you. Some will come to the sound area to talk to Johnny or Paulette. Some will be maybe on instruments, I don't know, some on my greeters. Be open to them, please.
Yep.
And please be here on time next Sunday so that you can walk them through the things that they need to do. They are excited about helping. I know one of the young ladies signed up for 3 or 4 different positions for next Sunday. So please try to be here on time so that you can kind of walk them through how things are done at your posts. Thank you.
Amen. The last thing is that we're having a 12-hour prayer chain the last day of this month. It's a Friday, March 31st. There's a sign up in the back, and I saw a few of the names on there, but we want to fill up. It's 12-hour from 7 p.m. Friday to 7 a.m. Saturday morning, 12-hour prayer chain. How many of you know we love to pray here at the Presence? So go sign up for that. All right. Y'all ready to go and continue to always abound in the work of the Lord? Stand on your feet. We're ready to go home. Lift those hands toward heaven. I give the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you. Always abound.